Hey, buddy, welcome to Mat Men, a very special episode. I love doing these. I love it when I have a guest on, especially if I like the guest and I know the guest. See, they're laughing here. I'm looking at my screen. It is a professional wrestling is a very funny business, especially if you cover professional wrestling. I can't compare it to any other sport as far as media coverage because I don't cover any other sports, so I don't know. But I do have a real journalist here, unlike myself. The one, the only, Mr. Nick Hausman is joining me here today. Hey, how you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, Andrew. Thank you so much.
You know, I thought it would be a perfect time for you to come on. And we've been talking for a while now about just everything that's happening in wrestling. And I send you some stuff that I hear and we talk about it. But it is not an easy task. It's fun. It's rewarding at times. But it's not easy, especially if you really pride yourself on being correct with what you're reporting.
Yeah, no, it is not easy. You know, when you have like a normal job, like I used to work at a deli. I used to work at a Whole Foods deli. And I would show up and I was really good at slicing meat and cheese and selling that meat and cheese. And I'd show up every day knowing exactly what I was going to do. When you're in this world of pro wrestling journalism, you don't always go to bed knowing what you're going to be doing tomorrow. You don't really know what that next story is going to be. You don't really know what it is that you're going to be doing. So when I have a hot hand going and I'm breaking a lot of big news, it's usually when I get really nervous and I put my head down to go to sleep because I hope that the next day is as good as the day as I'm having because it's not always the case.
Yeah, a lot of information also changes, unlike a lot of other, you know, like in finance, things like that don't shift. They don't change. With wrestling, a lot of it can change and it becomes a little bit more difficult. What's your process like? Do you have like a regimen that you follow weekly? Like, you know, on Mondays, you'll reach out to these people or Tuesdays, you'll do this. Do you have to be disciplined with that?
Definitely certain people, you know, on certain days when things come up where I know people are around, I'm hitting people up. I really love my routine right now. Cheap plug. I get to do this show, Rumor and Innuendo, noon Eastern. It's ad-free show's first daily pro wrestling news show, half hour, me and former WWE writer Robert Karpeles. And, you know, it gives me a chance to look over the news every morning, put together a run sheet, get to know what's going on, and figure out what I want to be asking questions about that day. You know, if I see a story where I'm like, ooh, I think I can get more info here, or this doesn't sound quite right to me. I have a few questions of my own. That's when I start reaching out to people. And it is, it's like in the mornings, you know, just like old school, like you see in the black and whites, right? Popping the newspaper open, looking what's out there, looking what people are talking about. And then you just go out there and you start asking questions and try to provide the best insight you can into what, you know, people are interested in.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the big topic, right? CM Punk. And
what?
By the way, you see, I don't know if you heard this. He's in WWE now.
What?
And a
wow.
Lot, some may say you may be responsible for this. I don't know.
Whoa, he's back. That's
back.
So cool.
And better than ever.
Okay,
but that probably in my time of covering wrestling, that really was one of the most tumultuous. Is he or isn't he? You know, from the time of him going to AEW to the time of debuting in WWE, and I'm sure the story's going to continue, right? I can't imagine it now being this non-event of a story, the CM Punk Chronicle over the last couple of years. But, I mean, is that one of the big ones for you, too, as far as, you know, just covering? I mean, AEW's launch was tremendous also, but I wasn't knee-deep in this stuff as much as I am now. But what has it been like for you with, is that one of the big ones?
What, Punk?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the House of Wrestling is built on a CM Punk cement foundation, I think. I think that the C and the CM, it's cement. It's what we're put our actual cement foundation on. To where we've made, it's that and Billy Corgan in the NWA, I think, is what the house is built on these days. You know, I have been very privileged to cover not just Punk, but AEW, really since the inception, since Punk coming back. We didn't have the press access that exists today before AEW launched. It was a very, very different landscape for the media. I think one of the things that Tony Khan doesn't get enough credit for is opening the business up significantly more to the media. And because of that, when Punk came back, I was already right in the mix, and I was able to cover that story, his return, from the very, very beginning. And of course, I had covered his trial a couple years earlier, watched him in Cabana in court with Dr. Amon. And even before that, he was coming to my improv shows while he was WWE champion. So I've had a chance to cover CM Punk's career very, very, very closely for over a decade now. And this, you know, it just never stops, man. Now we're here in WWE, and it's just going to be different. It's going to be a different vibe. And I'm as excited to see as anybody how this latest CM Punk chapter plays out.
Do you think this is a hit to AEW as far as, you know, fundamentally, as far as the optics of that company go and people's perception of that company? Do you think it's obviously it's a short term hit, but do you think it'll be a long term issue for them that they had him and they let him go?
You know, you got to make your weaknesses your strengths, right? And AEW is in this moment right now where I think people are actively looking at them, right? There's all this going on. There's this kind of doubt that you're talking about right now. And so while people are looking at you, you got to deliver strong. I thought that the Devil's angle with Max on Wednesday night did a really good job of creating a lot of speculation, a lot of interest, right? And it has nothing to do with, I guess it kind of did because Max decided he wanted to drop Punk's name in it. But that wasn't the thing people were talking about coming out of that. I think Adam and Christian also was very strong. I'm not totally sold on the Continental Classic. I'm sold on Swerve Strickland right now. Yeah. I don't know that the tournament thing is really, you know, another tournament match is coming up. You know, it just kind of starts to come into a rhythm for me. But the other stuff where they're getting a little creative, they're getting pushed right now. Maybe this makes them better. I'm going to try to remain optimistic like that.
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty honest about how I feel. I watch SmackDown. I enjoy it. I watch the pay-per-views. I very much enjoy it. I have difficulty with Raw. I know NXT is good when I turn it on. It's much better than it was with NXT 2.0, but I can't commit to it as much as I can. But AEW, I'm able to balance that into my life because the match qualities is what I like. I like to see Bryan Danielson go 45 minutes and just do rest holds. I'm okay with that. If you want to give me that, I'm fine with it. So I really think it comes down to what are you looking for? Like my kids, they love WWE. You know, they watch a little AEW, but they're watching WWE because it's bright and it's loud and it's an institution. With today, going into 2024, and we'll talk about TV deals and what a fascinating moment this is for the business. Where do you see this year headed? Do you think it's we're going to be in a upturn for AEW? I mean, obviously, we saw a little bit of a downturn with perception and viewership and things like that. But where do you see this headed for both companies?
Well, Andrew, I think this is where our paths meet, right? The TV rights are going to have a big part of that. You know, WWE, they've locked down where SmackDown's going. They've locked down where NXT's going. It sounds like, based off of, you know, what we're hearing, what you're reporting, right, what you've heard, that WWE's closing in on some kind of TV rights deal, maybe by the end of this year. And so if they're able to wrap up 2023 with their TV rights affairs in order going into the next year, that's a pretty strong It's a pretty strong footing going into next year. Yeah. Tony Khan's going to be walking into 2024 trying to find that same firm footing. You know, whatever that deal looks like that he gets next is going to dictate, you know, the strength of AEW for the next many years. I think that's a pretty safe analysis of it, right?
Yeah, I think so too. You know, Dave today in the Observer, or yesterday's Observer, did it come today or yesterday? I can't remember.
It comes out Friday at very, very early. Very here, early. I think.
Dave doesn't sleep. He's a vampire. I don't know if you know this.
I did.
He writes the Observer. He types it up upside down, hanging in the middle of the night. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
I've watched them bring him in via casket with the earth from Transylvania in it. It's wild.
Yeah,
it's
just sheets of old Observers in there, and he just like that's how he references everything. It's unbelievable to see. I've seen it in person. I saw it in Chicago. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I've seen Triple H. He keeps a wooden stake in his boot just for Dave. It's
just
wild.
In case.
He's ready.
You know
for
what?
Him.
Is he a vampire too? Is that, you know, I don't know if you know this. I fan fiction all my favorite wrestlers as vampires.
Wasn't he in Blade? Wasn't Triple H in Blade?
Triple H was in Blade. So there you go. It's all canon. It all connects.
I know way too much about pro wrestling.
I both. The absurd amount of bizarre knowledge I'm consuming, and I've lost memory in other things just so I could retain that. It's terrible. I can't remember what I ate yesterday, but I could tell you what happened in 1996 at Survivor Series.
There you go.
What happened in 1996 at Survivor Series? I don't think it was a good one.
96 Survivor Series. I was a year before Brett, so that was what that was while the Hart Foundation was feuding with everybody. So
yeah,
it would
have
been. That wasn't the Canadian Stampede. That wasn't a Survivor Series.
No, but that pay-per-view was fantastic.
Wasn't that 96 or was that early 97?
Maybe it was 96. Early 97. Has to be early 97.
Okay, so anyway, that's why I say there's probably something Hart Foundation-y going on at 96 Survivor Series.
You know, today Dave posted that Nick Khan went to WBD and pitched possibly getting some of their products on there, and they were declined. Now, I've said this from day one. Nobody once has said to me, and with a little bit of a disclaimer here, I kind of step away from wrestling in the winter. It's my very busy. I was talking to Nick about this. It's my busy season with all my clients. So sure. I'm not as tapped in, but the WBD stuff I've been very tapped into. And the AW stuff I've been very tapped into, and TV rights stuff. That's kind of what I hear more than anything else. I never heard once that they were interested in WWE. One time in passing, I was told, well, we would have to be dumb to publicly say, no, we would never listen. We're always going to listen. At which that's every business. I mean, that was a non-answer to me. That was, you know, if you have someone, you're not looking to hire someone, Nick. I'm not looking to hire a new host, but you come to me with a great idea. And I'm like, man, this Nick is so impressive. And he's great. I'll probably have him on. 96 was Rock debut. It was the Garden. And you know what? I was there, and that's why I said 96. So I should have remembered this.
Okay.
That I should have remembered. It was HBK and Sid in the main.
Oh, was that? No, because it was the San Antonio Rumble where they had Jose Lothario.
Yeah, that was the boot spot, right?
Yeah.
So I this is something that I hear. I never once was told that WBD is looking to dump AEW. Out of all the partners, right, the synergy amongst Fox and WWE, NBC and WWE, Peacock, you know, you put them in the bubble. I hear, obviously, positivity and rah-rah, but not to the extent of what I hear from the WBD side. I generally hear very protective conversations about it. It's not like you're hearing people like, well, this is garbage. This is, you know, oh, we need to get WWE in here. Nobody in that company I've ever heard anything negative. I've never heard any personal interest in WWE. It's possible. I mean, and I said this on Twitter. Is it possible they would? Yeah, anything is possible. Positioning changes. Situations change in TV and wrestling and media and entertainment. But I never was once told. I was always told word for word, we are very committed to AEW and its products, and we would like to add more if allowed, if the stars align.
I mean, I believe all that.
You know, like, and it's fascinating to me. And sometimes people come up like, well, you're just defending AEW. I don't have any financial benefit from any of this happening. You know, I know people. I'm friends with people due to unique job opportunities that I got. I just found it so interesting how people were so immediately, well, that's it for the AEW, WBD's in. And it didn't come from you. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from Dave. It didn't come from Sean. It didn't come from Mike Johnson or any, you know, any name. And I threw my name in there just because I'm on the WBD. I'm not a journalist. I'm a media personality. You know, it's a little muggy, you know, it's I don't fancy myself a journalist.
Oh, come on now.
I'm just going to constantly do it. Do you think he had muffins there with him? He should have brought muffins for everybody.
I mean, I have to believe he had some Mindy's Bakery in his bag.
But why do you think that catches on fire? Is it that it's such a wow, shocking story when an account tweets it? And again, listen, man, it could happen. This person, whoever originated that tweet, They could be, they could know something that none of us have heard. And I would applaud it. I would say, wow, that's a great get because nobody else had it. But why do you think it catches on fire so quickly?
I think the pro wrestling journalism, the churn rate for news is really, really high. So, you know, I've noticed in other mediums, you get a lot more long form pieces. There's not a lot of long form writing in pro wrestling. Like we really like lay out a story. We talk to several sources. Here's the full piece. So you get a lot of news and pro wrestling kind of piecemeal. And when you're getting news very kind of piecemeal and you don't know the full context, you're waiting for the new, next news item to come along. So you're kind of weighing facts as they're thrown at you. And sometimes something can just slip in there that because, again, you're trying to follow these stories, you know, as the news items coming out, you're like, well, that kind of seems like it could be possible, right? And so then you kind of like keep the door open for wherever that choose your own adventure may go next, because, you know, you're just looking at this one item without really kind of knowing a whole lot of context or facts or validity or, you know, whatever around it. And I think that's where we kind of get lost these days with, these small news items picking up wind and going everywhere. Because, again, we're getting all kinds of small news items thrown at us and just kind of picking the stuff that sounds right based off of our gut and, you know, how valuable or valid you think the source is.
Do you think that, the, you know, and this is going to sound so dumb, but do you think some of the when it gets muddy, do you think that helps a little bit, or do you think that just it's all negative?
Helps how? What do you mean?
Peaking interest in people, you know, the people that does it create an engaging conversation? Does it?
I mean, it, you always want people talking about you, right? Some people are really just, they'll say anything to keep people talking about them, right? And I think that the question you're asking is more in the eye of the beholder, right? Some people just love anything being said about them. They don't really care, right? There's other people out there that when they see stuff incorrectly being reported about them can get, they can get very defensive. They can, you know, they'll come at you. And I've had a couple wrestlers in my time come at me. Don't think that
only,
has not
only
happened.
Wrestlers, huh? Only wrestlers?
What are you going to say? Only fans? But I'm Ching? No, yeah. I've had people in the business come at me for sure for things that have been said and written. But again, you know, if you're helping or not is really in the eye of the person who is the subject of the story. So it can be helpful. It can be hurtful.
Now, with your, I mean, House of Wrestling is obviously becoming, it is, but it's the growth has been tremendous the last, year or so, right?
About a year. Yep. Well, we launched like right before April 1st. Yeah. We've been around about 9 months.
And that's, it is super impressive to see, you know, where you take something and obviously you have the background in, but you took something, you started from the ground up and then you built it and you have, you know, it's not only just news, you also have a video element and a podcast element. It's an all encompassing with adding programming and deciding the articles to write. Do you have to sometimes, you know, space things out and say, well, I've written too much about WWE or I have too much on AEW this week, this last couple of days, I need to kind of mix it up. How does that work? Because that's something I've never done. So I'm always interested on the delivery of the news. You know, do you deliver it once it's confirmed or do you wait like another day?
Well, aggregation is interesting, right? It's like it's an art, not a science, is what I tell my team all the time. Here's an example. So like just this morning, obviously, the Wrestling Observer newsletter comes out. You want to kind of parse through that, figure out what everybody's about to be talking about coming out of whatever Dave reported. You're going to want to, for stuff that I know I'm not going to be able to immediately get any comment on, we usually write it up as a report or backstage news or whatever. We put that on the site to get the conversation going around whatever that is. And then, of course, my work begins trying to figure out more about whatever this is or being able to say House of Wrestling has confirmed or whatever in the articles. I don't like it when it's all WWE or AEW or New Japan or whatever. So we do try to vary the stories as much as possible. Obviously, when a big story takes, you know, hold and there's a bunch of content, you know, coming out all at once about one thing, you kind of got to follow that. It was a big week for Punk news. But then with the stories about Dave, like the Observer stuff, like you know, I don't like to pull every story, right? Just the stuff that I know that we're going to be talking about, right, on the shows or whatever, stuff that I can kind of get into. And I don't like to run a lot of one kind of source, you know, stories all at once. Like, we could run like five Observer newsletter stories in a row this morning, but I don't think that's a good look. If you want all Observer stuff, there's a wonderful website. It's called The Wrestling Observer. I'm a subscriber. I encourage you to go subscribe to The Wrestling Observer and support that community. But we want to be able to provide you a little bit more outside that scope. So little social interactions, like the stuff with Dominic and Punk going back each other, that's a nice thing you can toss into the mix. You know, other websites that have news that are coming out, put that in between the stories. Is there a crazy exclusive we can put in between these stories? You know, whatever we can do to provide people a variety of quality content that it's not all just one place or one opinion or one company. We do try to provide that variety over at House of Wrestling.
Yeah, and I think it's important. You know, I think the variety, like, I do very niche product, like Matt Men. We do the interview series, which I love doing because it's generally people that I enjoy in wrestling. Like I don't like doing an interview with someone that I don't know, right? Like, in the weeds, Joel Pearl had Rocky Romero on today. Mm-hmm. I've had Rocky on a couple times, but it was such a pleasant time to have a conversation with him. It was natural. It was like, oh, you know, we spoke online and like, oh, you want to do a show? We did a show. I don't like doing scheduled things like, oh, the publicist contacts us and there's a WrestleMania thing happening and, you know, you could have so-and-so on. It's never anything. It's just 20 minutes of me asking questions I don't want to ask.
Sure.
And, you know, and I'm honest about it. You know, we had the New Day on and it was about Snickers or whatever it was. We had Enzo and Big Cass on, and I could have had such a great interview with both of them because Northeastern guys, Big Cass grew up in my neighborhood. He played basketball for the local Catholic school down the block from me. You know, I would have loved to sit there and just talk to him about nonsense like that. And I can't because I have to, you know, ask the questions about, you know, what are your top three WrestleMania moments, you know? But I like doing this series because people, they see your post, right? They see what Nick Hausman writes. They don't really, they can listen to you, but that's a fraction of the person that's seeing that tweet. It's getting aggregated all around Twitter. They don't really get to know you. And I think it's really important, especially for the people in this community that are, you know, upstanding, like good people, not a-holes. There's plenty of those. I think it's important to get it out there and kind of find out, like, what's your thought process like? What is your work process like? What do you do? What do you like?
What do I do? What do I like? I like watching wrestling in the morning and spending my evenings with my wife and dog. I live a pretty normal
life. How dare
you?
How dare you live a normal life? A normal, functional, balanced life.
I live a pretty, you know, I grew up in a household with a pretty regimented work schedule. I've had regular normal sales jobs in the past, and I know what a normal work life is like. And I try to do that. You know, I'm up by, you know, try to be up by 6:30, you know, get the day going, start to look at what everybody's looking at before them, get the news out as soon as possible, do fun stuff like this to get the word out, do my show. And then in the afternoon, I try to wrap up by 4 or 5. I have a couple guys, Nick Miller and Ennis McVeigh, who have been helping me at nights and stuff. But we don't, like, we're not doing live results of Raw and SmackDown over at House of Wrestling. No offense to anybody who else that does that. I understand it. At some point, when we get big enough, we will be doing that, right? But at the moment now, while we have the resources that we have, I'm just focused on the big stories, man. You know, you wake up the next day, you're gonna have seen a bunch of coverage about an angle that happened on Raw, but you come over to House of Wrestling the next morning, we're gonna be talking about what happened with that angle, why it happened, right? Like, we're gonna be having those conversations over at the house for now. So, you know, I try to live. I don't want to get burned out. I'm 38. I know my limits. I'm kind of a little, I don't want to say I'm curmudgeon-y because I think I'm a pretty outgoing guy. But, you know, I know what's going to burn me out and make me unhappy, and nobody's going to make any money then. So I try to live a pretty normal life, have a pretty normal schedule, and I encourage everybody out there to do the same thing. You know, take your breaths, take your walks, keep it cool. We're all just trying to do a job.
I'll give you a little piece of advice. The watch-alongs, okay? I did watch-alongs throughout the entire pandemic.
Okay.
It was fantastic for numbers. It was mental distress for me, where I can no longer do it. I was dying. those 5-6 hour marathon shows were so brutal that I have difficulty even talking about the pay-per-views the next day.
Yeah.
It exhausted me so much to do that. And I found my limit. Like you said, I found out what my limit was. And I was like, you know what? I can't do that. That's not for me anymore.
No, I do a noon Eastern 5 days a week show. It's so wonderful. I get to work in the morning. I do my fun little show in the afternoon while everybody's drinking coffee and hiding out in their cubicles. And then we all go back to our lives. And we have
I'm
going to
tell you, MG,
night.
My producer here, this is preaching to the gospel for me. This is how I, honestly, 10:30 a.m., people are like, how come you don't do like peak time, you know, like do the show live? And I'm like, I got to do the show when I'm mentally prepared to do the show. Mm-hmm. By 1-2 o'clock, and this is a little insight, from 11 to like 3 o'clock is hell on earth for me. This is when all my emails come in. This is when everybody has a problem from like the day before, and I have to now troubleshoot 80,000 different things. But before that time, things are great. I have no stress. So I record at 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning every day, or whatever Wonderful. We do the show, you know? Do you think... For the direction that you're going with House of Wrestling, do you think it's going to be video, audio, or is it going to continue? The strength in coverage is going to be, you know, obviously writing out the articles.
My focus is on news right now. We're on a hot, like I said, we're having a hot hand right now when it comes to news. People are looking for more news from us. That's where the interest is at. So I'm not trying to go against the stream there. That's what people want. They want me writing about news. I'm doing my best to get everybody news. We will be doing more video and podcast stuff. I'm super happy with Rumor and Innuendo. It has been wonderful working with Ad Free Shows and Conrad Thompson's team to get it together with the nice graphics, nice opening video, all of that stuff we've got going over there. Working with Robert's been great. I have a different mindset towards how pro wrestling podcasting can be done that I don't particularly want to talk about out loud because I have some fingers and some pies elsewhere, but I think there's more money to be made doing pro wrestling podcasting differently, and hoping to get a nice big project going here in early 2024 to kind of better show everyone what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I 100% I agree with you. And what's fascinating to me is that there's a whole different element, right? Like, you cover wrestling, I cover wrestling. We do, like, I'm a radio guy. I don't look at the camera because I like the voyeuristic feel of you watching me do this the old creep. Howard way. Yeah. That I like a little creepy, right? Weirdo. Little spy cam. I can make a website, 24-hour stream of the studio.
Gross. All right,
nothing
whatever.
Happens here. It's just me walking down here, you know, disheveled in the morning. Nothing fun happens in this room. But maybe, I don't know. Too many cameras, dude. I can't. I'm afraid my producers are constantly watching.
I don't even know what we are talking about anymore right now. I'm so uncomfortable.
Well, you went into like a voyeuristic thing. I said I like the voyeurism. I like people watching and me not seeing them. Oh, it's getting a little weird. How'd you make it weird? God.
You're the one who dropped the word voyeuristic like you were watching me in a peephole from the ceiling.
You never know. That's how I get my scoops, dude. Everybody thinks I'm sitting down. Yeah, I'm literally just peeping into rooms.
Stealing my gimmick, buddy. I was joking. Now you're gonna do it my way. Well, then steal my bit. Fine.
Is that what you do? Is that your gimmick?
Dude, I live in Phil Brooks's attic. He doesn't even know it. It's just me crawling around amongst his Christmas ornaments.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story about, I'll say it off the air, because I got such a huge scoop one time at a steakhouse by a bartender, and I was like, this guy's an idiot, he has no idea what he's talking about. He's like, oh, wrestling, I don't know how the conversation came up, I think I was talking to somebody else. He's like, oh, you know, so-and-so was here recently, and I'm like, I don't think so, and he's like, and you know what he said to me, and then he laid this whole thing out, and I was like, I don't think so, and it happened. I guess somebody got drunk and told the bartender everything, and nobody knew.
Isn't that great?
It's hysterical. It's amazing. But
I should open a bar in Stamford. That'd be the best way to do it. If I just had a bar in Stamford, I'd probably know everything.
Oh, by the new building. Have you seen it? It's stunning.
I have the SmackDown, or what is it? It's not Smack Chow or something like that. Chowdown. I don't know what it's called.
Chowdown. Unbelievable. But amazing. What do you think is missing in this? Like, I do a radio style show. You know, a lot of other YouTubers do a very YouTube-esque style rundown, and you know, we've seen success with that. Where do you think it kind of is? You think it's a balance of both of those as far as the media goes for wrestling?
What do you mean? Just like as far as like content creation and actual journalism?
Yeah.
It is very blended these days. You know, if you're reporting news, you're commenting on it as well. It's pretty much the standard. It's like what's kind of expected, right? You look at Dave, you look at Wade, you look at Mike, you look at Sean, up and down. If you're reporting the news, people want to like hear you talk about what it is you're reporting and what maybe you're hearing a little beyond what you're putting down in words on the paper. So it's very, very muddled. It's obviously very, very muddled in the pro wrestling space.
I would love to know, how did you get into wrestling? What was it for you? We're the same age, so we grew up in the same generation.
Yeah. No, I was probably, 91, 93, you know, is when I kind of started getting into it, back when we had VHS tapes on the Take One Video shelves. We didn't have a Blockbuster. So I fell into it as a kid like that. I fell out of it late in high school. And then when I was doing comedy in Chicago, I had a friend who exposed me to independent wrestling at a warehouse when I was like 19, 20, and had got involved, had some dude give me couple choke slams that are probably the reason I have spinal stenosis now, and just it all kind of spiraled from there. It's only been a very short period of my life where I really wasn't a wrestling fan. It came back pretty quick.
I'm trying to think mine. SummerSlam 91, I was there, and that kind of solidified like, oh wow, like a live event like this, it was tremendous. And I had, you know, my father was into it, my grandfather was a bodybuilder, my uncle was into it, he would sneak us into the Coliseum when we were kids. So for me, it was always there. I feel the same way. I think everybody kind of drops off a little bit after high school and college, and then they kind of get back into it and something big happens and it kind of draws people in. Over the last decade, what would you say was the biggest thing to bring back disenfranchised fans or just fans of the past? Is there one thing that you could think of that really piqued people's interest to come back into wrestling?
I mean, you would think that it was Roman, right? I mean, if you had to pick one thing, it would be the rise of Roman Reigns. Everything seems to have built around the rise of Roman Reigns. People were coming out of the pandemic. It was one of the first things that people could really kind of get back outside and do again, is like, as far as a big group goes. I think WWE really owned that lane. And I think the rise of Roman Reigns has been really fun to watch. I think, you know, integrating people like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul into your product is probably not hurting them right now. And then finding these stars that you could build around, like Sami Zayn and Jey Uso, and obviously Cody Rhodes was a big part of that ride. But if I had to pick one thing to say that really pushed this whole movement to where it is, it's got to be the Bloodline stuff. It's got to be Roman and Paul Heyman, and the interest started there.
It's amazing to me because I feel like that program was more, and listen, a lot of people around me, they're dads, right? They're all in their 40s and late 30s and 50s. I would say the Bloodline 100% brought these people back because their kids got into it and they watched it and it was like, oh, this is really good stuff. You know, it was captivating television. Before that, I would say the Bullet Club, shockingly.
Bullet Club, that's a really good indicator. Bullet Club Elite. I mean, obviously the launch of AEW, the enthusiasm that came from that. I guess I'm talking more just the WWE focus would be on the Roman stuff. But yeah, if you're talking about the re-intrigue in the industry as a whole, I mean, of course, yeah, the launch of AEW brought all kinds of people back.
I hope they stay.
I hope they do too. I don't know how they feel about, you know, blood being spat in the other person's mouth, or you know, Adam Copeland telling Christian to go F himself without being censored or whatever it may be. I mean, they're very different products right now, but I do think that overall the industry is growing. I think it's a very strong time for pro wrestling as a whole, despite some of the day-to-day, week-to-week arguments that pop up.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, I want to ask you about this possibility of CM Punk and Steve Austin
Okay.
I was about 5 days ago. Was it Monday or Sunday? I can't remember. It might have been Monday or Sunday. Somebody said, hey, you know, this is possible. And I said, well, are you saying it's possible because he's there? He goes, no. The conversations have happened. People are talking about this. And I'm like, in what way? And, you know, they didn't know. They didn't. This was not someone that's, you know, in this deep conversation about this. I think he or she had heard it in passing. I'm very intrigued by this. And, you know, if you're trying to grab Punk and you're negotiating and you throw in a Steve Austin WrestleMania match, you may be more inclined to take that deal, you know?
Look, I know both these guys. I've never heard either of these guys say anything less than very positive things. Kept the door open to this scenario. Now that we are in a world where CM Punk is back with WWE, where Steve Austin has proved that he can go out there and deliver a more than serviceable match at WrestleMania, I don't know why these guys wouldn't jump on this big bag of money that's being put in front of them. I mean, it has all the hallmarks of something Tony Khan and TKO and Ari Emanuel are going to love. I'm maybe overly optimistic that it's probably going to happen. I've been asking people about it. Nobody's denied it. I'll put it that way. I've had people be like, what? How'd you hear about this? And I'm like, look at what Sapp wrote. How do you think I heard about it?
I posted a, you know, this is a possibility post, right? Because I don't have the story. It's just something that somebody said to me, which I hear a lot of things. You're like, same with you. Sometimes it's not something you could report. You don't have any way to confirm it. You know, you could dig deep, and that's what you guys do great. But I find this very interesting because, listen, you know, you get one or two opportunities like this. And fortunately for AEW, they had CM Punk and they created some really interesting moments. But unfortunately, they weren't able to create the big one that everybody wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the cards, you know, to see that Kenny Omega Punk match or the Bucks and the Bucks and Kenny versus FTR and Punk. You know, that did not happen. And it's unfortunate that it didn't, because I think that would have been a big money program for them. At the end of the day, WWE has this unique opportunity to make good on CM Punk, use this as an optical warfare against AEW and say, hey, listen, all of you guys that are very upset there, this guy was a lunatic with you, and he was a lunatic with us, but now he's back, and look how happy he is. Look what we've accommodated. We're giving him Steve Austin. Look what we could give to you. I think that says a lot.
Dude, can you imagine Punk Austin, The Rock, Roman Reigns, you know, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, whatever. I mean, it's going to be a loaded WrestleMania is my prediction.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's amazing? We were talking about Cody, and we have not mentioned Cody once, right? The last time we did a show,
Cody, I think, is in a good spot right now. I think Cody's wisely kind of stepping back and letting things play out around him. I mean, Cody's still a massive, massive,
tremendous,
massive draw. Cody's got to know that when his time with Punk comes, they're going to make a lot of money together. I think that fans are very much on the hook for Cody. He's done a wonderful job Pied Pipering them, but I have to believe that Cody Rhodes is happier than a pig in crap right now because of the situation that he finds himself in. And I would not be pushing myself to be front of the line right now. I'd let everything play out and, you know, find your spot, which he's doing very, very well.
I hope it all plays out positively. Mm-hmm. At the end of I hope we get to see all these awesome things.
I will say this. When I was talking to people about Punk over in WWE, it was like, and I was like, yeah, are some people unhappy? Like, I got a couple people that were like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, if they're told to do their job and show up, that's what they're going to do, right? And it was just so matter of fact, and that's not the space Punk has been for the past couple years. Right. And it'll just be different. Be interesting.
Yeah, I'm very curious. And also, what kind of shorts is he going to wear? You need to get that scoop. Is he going to wear the undies? Is he going to wear the long boys? Or is he going to wear the Muay Thai shorts?
I kind of like the, you know, I'm a Muay Thai shorts guy myself. Me too. I like, you know, but whatever. He's not, I don't think he's going to listen to me when it comes to gear advice. I think that man's going to do whatever he wants.
I think you should, since you're in the attic, I think you should go down there and take all the other gear out and just leave him with the Muay Thai shorts.
You got it, boss.
Okay. Thank you. Guys, this was awesome. I absolutely love having Nick on. I want to do this more often.
Sure. This is,
we talk about some fun stuff. We talk about some serious stuff. And then we talk about me being a creep with my voyeurism, with my camera setup.
Mm.
What's going on down there? Nick, where can people find you?
In the attic of CM Punk House. No, you can find me. House of Wrestling, HAUSofWrestling.com, just like on the mic flag. Rumor and innuendo, noon Eastern, all the House of Wrestling platforms, ad-free shows, at WWE Creative_ish. You can live stream us there. I love working with Robert. And, of course, Ruben and Innuendo on whatever podcast platform you like. I really enjoyed this. Thanks so much for having me today.
No, Andrew. Absolutely. Rich and I are going to be back on Sunday with a doubleheader. We're going to do Mat Men, and then we're going to do Wrestling Observer Live later on in the day. So you can stay tuned and watch that. Mat Men will be on all the Mat Men channels, and obviously Observer is on the Wrestling Observer website. Until next time. Bye-bye for now.